Welcome back to Thoroughly Equipped. This is the second part in a two-part series focusing on the statement by the Apostle Paul, all Scripture. What did Timothy understand when Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? We also considered how Scripture is both a communication device and also a transformational device. And so we will develop that a little bit more today.
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. This is Thoroughly Equipped, drawing water from the wells of salvation, a weekly study of the Bible with Pastor Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. During the next 30 minutes, we'll bring you solid, in-depth biblical teaching from Scripture and provide you training in how you can get the most from personal and family Bible study. We invite you to get a copy of today's teaching outline by logging on to tefaith.org. TEFaith is short for Thoroughly Equipped Faith. Again, that's tefaith.org. Then open your Bible and study along with Pastor Mike. Also, if you'd like to stay up to date on Thoroughly Equipped events, sign up for our periodic email newsletter, Wells of Salvation. You'll get articles, resource information, a note from Pastor Mike, information about Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, including our address and service times, and news about any upcoming events. It's very informative. To get our email newsletter, just log on to tefaith.org. That's thoroughlyequippedfaith.org. Now here's Pastor Mike.
Welcome to our program today. As was mentioned earlier, this is the second part in a two-part series focusing on the words, all Scripture. And the reason why we chose this particular text, that is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, is as it's the basis of this program. Our desire is to thoroughly equip you to both understand or know what it is you believe, but also to equip you in being able to put into practice or practical application of the Word of God. That's what Paul was communicating to his son in the faith, Timothy, in his second letter, and that is the purpose, if you will, of the program. We are joined today in our studio with my son David. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great.
All right. And also a dear friend and elder, Carl Esparza.
Pleasure to be here again.
All right. Excellent. Glad that you were able to make it. Let's go back to where we were last week. We were focusing on Paul's declaration that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we were asking the question and trying to answer the question, what did he mean? What did Timothy understand that he was speaking about? And he actually, in the verse before, in verse 15, he speaks of Holy Scripture. And so what was that to the original audience? What was that to Timothy? And we came to the conclusion that it was the Old Testament primarily, although the New Testament is also understood as being included. Then we looked at the actual first recorded statements concerning the use of recorded statements, or in other words, the first places in the Bible where we find that Moses and amazingly so, God himself writes Scripture. And we're going to go back to that in a minute, but I wanted to kind of throw this question out to Carl right now. And that is a different kind of question. Let's just for a minute stop and think about the reason that God chose to write it. In other words, he could have communicated only orally and it be passed down from generation to generation, superintended by the Holy Spirit. But he did it. He chose to record it in script on tablets of stone and on parchment and all these various means. It was written. And so why did God do that? What do you think?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to recognize that because of sin and because of the curse upon the creation, our memories would not be what they used to be. And so therefore, God wanted to guarantee that his words would not be twisted or turned or forgotten. And so he wrote it down in something hard. He wrote it on tablets of stone. That's my first thought, just from looking at the scripture.
What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing too, Dad, because I was reading about the Grimm's fairy tales and how the stories that the brothers Grimm's wrote down were not necessarily the same stories that were told centuries ago. Because the Grimm's fairy tales, like Little Red Riding Hood or Snow White, they passed down from generation to generation, but they were always different. You had all these different versions throughout all of Europe. So in one sense, that's one of the reasons why God wrote in script, so that it would not be twisted, that it would not be changed, but that it would remain the same throughout all time.
Very good. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we understand that when God, or better yet, we understand that Moses was commanded by God to take the tablets and to place them in the ark, or beside the ark, in the Holy of Holies, in order for that to be a, how would you say it, God's copy of this covenant relationship and covenant agreement. And so there was actually two copies written. They both happened to be in the Holy of Holies as a permanent record concerning God's relationship with his covenant people. But I was also thinking about the idea of the scriptures being written, cause it to be something outside of ourselves, being objective, an objective standard of life and practice. And so it's not just subjective and whatever someone says, and you want to pick up
well,
on that.
Well, yeah, what you're saying is extremely important. We have to remember that the scripture is outside of ourselves and is not subject to our whims, but it instructs us. It tells us the way we should be and act and believe.
Amen.
Yeah, it's sometimes, I don't know about you, there are times when I'm reading and I'll say, I don't like that. And does that mean because I don't like it, it makes me uncomfortable, I don't want to do that, then therefore it is no longer, the Word of God is no longer authoritative because it's only what I like?
Well, that's the answer is very simple. The answer is no. And that's why it was written. God wrote it because we are sinners and we do want to change. One of our key phrases of humanity after the fall of Adam is change. And God says, no, it's the same. The same standard always applies. And so, therefore, he guaranteed that that standard would be with us to this very day.
Very good. And the wonderful thing is the scripture also says that God says that of himself, I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed. And so both God's word and God himself is unchangeable. And so it can bring, I think, hope and what is it, and surety, encouragement, because just like the Word of God, God himself is faithful, and it is something we can build our life on. Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, last week we talked about Genesis and Exodus, but I was wondering, what about the rest of the story, you might say? What about the rest of the document? How does the Psalms, how do the prophets, and how do the Gospels and the letters, and even the revelation of Jesus Christ by the Apostle John, how do those relate?
Good. I'm glad you asked that question. Good. We need to focus on that. So we focused on the book of Genesis last week in Exodus, primarily Exodus. And again, just as a reminder, Genesis we looked at as a revelation of God and his relationship with the forefathers. Again, remembering that the original audience was received this from Moses. And so for them, the book of Genesis was, to a large degree, their Bible. And then the book of Exodus is what they were living out, and so on through the first five books. And so for them, it was important for them to understand, well, who is God, and how does God relate to me, or how did he relate to my fathers and my grandfather and the previous generations? And so the book of Genesis communicates that relational, and it does it by way of narrative. It does describing historically that relationship. The book of Exodus continues that and goes all the way through through the redemption out of Egypt. We talked about the gospel according to Moses. And we left off at that point, so I'm glad you brought that up. So let's get to the next book, a book that most people spend very little time in. Many people start to read the Bible, get through Genesis, okay, get through Exodus, start struggling in chapter 25, are able to get back on track. But then when they hit the book of Leviticus, then usually people throw up their hands and say, I don't understand what this book is about, and I don't see how it relates to me. But Paul says that it is profitable. The book of Leviticus is profitable. And so if we were to try to summarize the book of Leviticus in one word, Dave, I'll put it on you. If you were to put the book of Leviticus in one word, what would you say?
Well, being that Leviticus is about the sacrifices and about the whole, about the laws, the idea about separation from God, wouldn't in one word be holiness?
Very good. And as a matter of fact, by you using the word separation, you triggered a thought that I wanted to bring in earlier, and that is, in many ways, the whole Old Testament could be summarized by the word separation. In other words, it is a revelation of God's relationship with his people. Because of sin and separation, God had to intervene and bring redemption, salvation, through Jesus Christ. And so the New Testament declares reconciliation because of separation.
Mm-hmm.
And so the book of Leviticus enforces again and reinforces again and again that separation, that the holiness of God. How do you live in a relationship with a holy God? At the very end of the book of Exodus, we have the tabernacle where God would dwell in the midst of his people. Well, how does a sinful people deal with a holy God living among them, with them? And so the book of Leviticus addresses that particular question, how to live in the presence of a holy God.
And along with that separation, we talk about our sin separating us from God, but in God reconciling us to himself and calling us out of Egypt, if you will, he separates us from the rest of the world. And so Leviticus is in a continuation of showing what holiness is for you and I.
Right. Okay, so it's very practical.
Very practical.
Okay, very good. So then we go to the next book, the book of Numbers, and there we have, I would say the best word there is consequences or sanctions. In other words, as you read the book of Numbers, you see the wandering of the people of God of Israel in the wilderness. Why? Because of their rebellion against the written word of God, God's revealed will, and the judgment that came upon them. The next book, Deuteronomy, focuses on who? The next generation. And again, reiterates that relationship between God and his people and how that relationship was to be maintained.
Yeah, and it's good to remember that, and we call the book Deuteronomy, which really means second law, if you will. And it's again, reestablishing the covenant, that relationship with the next generation.
Okay, now let's just stop for a minute, and we have so much more to cover in so little time. But let's just stop and regroup and to think about what Paul is saying. Paul is saying here that all Scripture is profitable. And so not only is the writings of Moses, which we just covered, profitable for us as Christians today, but so is the rest of the Old Testament. And so just to summarize those, to bring that to summarize those other books of the Old Testament, because I want to spend a little bit of time in the New Testament. When we think of books like Joshua, Judges, Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings, and even 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra and Nehemiah, all of those books are referred to as historic books. Now, you can also add Esther and Ruth as well in those books. And again, as we're thinking about it as a relational document, what we find is that in that relationship of God to each subsequent generation, God records that relationship. So, for example, in the book of Joshua, we see that the people of God, obedient to the word of God as they have received from Moses, go into the land and conquer. That particular book, the book of Joshua, was profitable for the next generation. unfortunately, the next generation didn't take those six books and apply them, and so we have the results, was what is recorded in the book of Judges. Again, another judgment, another negative sanctions, if you will, negative consequences to not hearing God's word and not putting it into practice of unbelief. And so the book of Judges is now available for the next generation, and the book of Samuel to the next generation, and so on. And so we have this expanding description of God's relationship with his people. When we come to what are referred to as the poetic books, the book of Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon, here we are looking at that relationship from other perspectives. We're looking at a particular relationship between Job and God and those around him. With the Psalms, as Calvin said, the book of Psalms is the anatomy of the soul. Every aspect of our being is described there. When we look at the book of Proverbs, we have wisdom, how to take the word of God and put it into practical application in life, and so on with the other poetic books. Then we come to the prophets, and here we see these men called of God to take what God had revealed to the children of Israel, to his beloved people, and to apply it to the lives of those who were in rebellion and those who were trusting. And so you have, again, an exposition of that relationship and the application of that relationship documented in the Word of God to particular situations. And so, again, the one theme that runs throughout all of these books is relationship and, in particular, separation. So when we come to the New Testament, the blessing, the joy, as a matter of fact, sometimes the temptation for many Christians is to so focus on the New Testament, because there you have reconciliation, where the Old Testament is separation, we now have reconciliation. This is the good news, it's the gospel. And so we spend so much time focusing on the gospel, and we become experts in the New Testament, so much so that we could be accused of having New Testament-itis, as one author refers to it. And so we actually have a tendency to ignore the Old Testament to our detriment. And so, again, what does Paul say? All Scripture is profitable, and for him, it was the Old Testament. And so one of the points that I'm wanting us to remember is that all of the Bible is profitable, not just the New Testament.
May I make a point? The Lord Jesus Christ himself reminded the Pharisees that the Scriptures spoke of him.
Exactly.
And they, on the other hand, were forgetting the original message.
As a matter of fact, as you were mentioning that, the Scripture came to mind of Jesus himself as he spoke to his disciples after the resurrection, when he said, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. That was in Luke chapter 24. And again and again, he mentioned, like you said, that they speak of him. And ultimately, yes, our focus, what really makes the Scriptures profitable for us, that we may be complete, is because we are complete in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we read the Scriptures as Christians. We read the Scriptures as those who have been regenerated, born again by the Spirit of God. And so we must never forget that as we consider what Paul is saying, as we open our Bibles. We are in need of the grace of God. We are in need of the Holy Spirit to take and to make this profitable for us, so that we would be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work.
Pastor Mike, the question that we have to really look at now is, what do we do with all this information? I mean, we've been talking about the Scripture. What do we do with that? What do we do now? Where do we go now?
Well, like the Scripture says, that it's profitable for it to be profitable, you have to read it, and then you have to take it and put it in practice. You have to believe it, and then you have to do it. And so we come back to that question that we mentioned at the very beginning in the first program. What does this teach me concerning God? And also, what does God require of me from this passage of Scripture?
So you're saying God requires of us to study it.
To study it and to put it into our life, to practice.
Yeah, and just like we said in the first program, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you teach a man how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime, because then he's able to fish for himself, and then he can then pass it on to others. So when we do study our Bible, we are being taught to fish.
Very good.
And that is our study today in the Word of God here on Thoroughly Equipped with Pastor Mike Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, along with his son David and Elder Carl Esparza. Pastor Mike will be back in just a moment with a final thought for the week ahead. First, though, here's a reminder that you can download and print the lesson outline for each week starting on Wednesday by logging on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Follow along with the outline and keep it in a binder for future reference and study. Also, if you'd like to receive our periodic email newsletter that contains articles, upcoming events, and special offers, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, about upcoming events, or about Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, log on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org, or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. And we thank the members and friends of Rehoboth Reformed Church for their sacrificial giving in order to make this program possible. If you would like to join them in providing this blessing for others by supporting this Bible teaching program, visit our website. Lastly, we invite you to join us for worship and even more study of God's Word every Sunday morning at Rehoboth Reformed Church, located at 501 South Idaho Street, Suite 120 in La Habra, California. For more information or directions, visit our website, tefaith.org, or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. Now, with a final thought for the week, here's Pastor Mike.
So Paul says, all Scripture. All Scripture is profitable. How does that affect your life? Do you believe it? Do you take that truth and put it into practice? In other words, do you actually pick up and read? Do you read your Bible? Do you look at it as a way of hearing from God, as communicating with God? God has revealed himself to us, and he has written it in a book and has given it to us and has superintended it, protected it, and promoted its proclamation from generation to generation. And now you have in your possession the greatest possession that you will ever own, but it does no good on the shelf. Do you pick up and read? And when you read, do you read with a desire to be fed, to know God, and to do what God calls you to? Are you a servant, or even better yet, are you a friend, a son, and a daughter that desires to hear from his or her father, to commune with him, and to glorify him both now and forever? My prayer is that you would say, yes, amen. So be it.
Thank you for joining us today here on Thoroughly Equipped, Drawing Water from the Wells of Salvation, a weekly verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the Bible with Pastor Michael Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. Joined in studio by his son David and by myself, Carl. Next week, we'll continue looking at the Word of God. We hope you'll join us. In the meantime, you can learn more about Thoroughly Equipped by logging on to our website, tefaith.org. And if you'd like to write a note to Pastor Mike, you can email it to pastor@tefaith.org. That's pastor@tefaith.org. Remember, God is your salvation. You can trust Him and not be afraid. The Lord is your strength and your song.